Well, I'm excited to be here this kind of a momentous day in the life of River Hills. I remember that right after Pastor John left, I preached right out here on a kind of a truck bed or some type of a temporary stage that was set up, and everybody sat over under the shade. It was in July. And nobody was close to me. And I was like, this is weird. But you were all hiding back in the shade, which was smart. That's what I would have done too. And then I was able to come back after Pastor Ken was here and preach. And so I've been praying for this church family for quite some time. And so thankful as I've walked with the elders and with Pastor Steve this journey, and excited what this day brings. Time change. Don't like it this week, huh? Anybody like the jump ahead? I like the fall behind. I was speaking up in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, in Door Creek on Friday night and Saturday, and got home last night, and then drove early this morning from Wausau down here. So I'm missing that extra hour. Where in the world did it go? We'll catch it up later. You know, what is a pastor? And we heard from that passage that was just read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, about some of the tasks and responsibilities of the pastor, to preach the word in season and out of season. And boy, do we know what seasons are here in Wisconsin, even though winter was weird this year, right? I'm not complaining. I didn't even start my snowblower once. Love that. The most snow we had in Wausau up north was on Halloween. We had 6 inches, and then it was gone in a day, so I didn't have to use my snowblower. I loved it. But preach the word in season, and that means always be ready to preach God's word, Pastor Steve. And then to do that, as it said, with patience, and to do it reproving, rebuking, exhorting, and doing it, as I said, with patience. And then also just recognizing that you are to be sober-minded, that you endure suffering, that you do the work of evangelists, that you fulfill your ministry. And Paul said that these are things that a pastor does. Well, there are three texts that are in the New Testament that I chose this morning that talk about what a pastor does. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And he, speaking of Jesus Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." What did he give them to the church for? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that we all reach spiritual maturity and become like Jesus. That's your job, Pastor Steve. That's the job of the elders and the leaders of this church, is to equip people as they come to know Jesus to be ready for ministry, to serve one another, so that we become unified as a church family and as a body of Christ, and that we grow up into spiritual maturity. And then there is Acts chapter 20, verses 28, Acts 20, verse 28, where this admonition is giving, talking about a shepherd. The shepherd is told to pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The church, friends, you are the church, and you are precious. Do you know why I know that you're precious? Because the church was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have tremendous value and worth because the blood of the very Son of God was given and shed to purchase our salvation and to redeem us, and to buy us and set us free from sin. So you have tremendous value. You have tremendous worth because of the precious blood of Jesus. So Pastor Steve, pastors feed, they tend, they protect the church. That's why we love to give the staff, the shepherd staff. That term overseer is also used in Acts 20, 28. But then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly doing so." you look at those three passages, they talk about shepherd, a teacher, an overseer, and an elder. And so those are some of the roles and some of the things that a pastor does. But two things for you this morning, Pastor Steve, that I want to encourage you. The first one is to love the church family here at River Hills. Love the people. This is my 36th year of vocational ministry. And there were times where ministry's difficult. And can I be honest? Can I be honest in church? Great place to be honest, right? There were times I didn't like the people that I pastored. And I said that to them. I said, you know what? I love you, but I don't particularly like you right now because of some of the things that were happening, some of the schisms, some of the disagreements that were happening. And so church can be a messy place, but hopefully in obedience to God's word and submission to Christ, the shepherd, we submit to one another. But there are times it's not easy to love the church. That can be very difficult. But I encourage you, Pastor Steve, to love the people of River Hills and ask God to give you a deep, deep, and abiding love for them. You cannot love them enough. And that will be what will sustain you during some of the difficult times is when you get on your knees and you say, Lord, I love these people, and you pray for them, and that will help sustain you and give you strength in times of difficulty. Another thing that I would encourage you to do, Pastor Steve, is, as it said in this text, that one of the responsibilities of a shepherd is to lead. You know, Warren and David Wiersbe talked about pastoral ministry and had 10 things that they laid out that are part of pastoral ministry. They said, the foundation of ministry is character. The nature of ministry is service. The motive for ministry is love. The measure of ministry is sacrifice. The authority of ministry comes from submission. Isn't that an interesting truth? That through submission, there's authority. The purpose of ministry is all to the glory of God. The tools for ministry are God's word and prayer. The privilege for ministry is seeing the growth that God does in our own lives as shepherds and the lives of those that we lead. The power of the ministry is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. That's where the power comes from the Spirit of God. And the model for ministry, like we talked about earlier, is none other than our Savior, Jesus Christ himself. He's the greatest model that we have for ministry. So Pastor Steve, you've been called here by God to love this church family and to lead this church family. I read a story this last week about a pastor who was talking to one of his younger staff members who was doing his first funeral. And as he was doing this funeral, it was a decorated war veteran. And there was a time at the end of the memorial service where a number, 9 or 10 of his fellow servicemen were going to come down in uniform and be part of this very regal procession. So the young pastor had prepared his message, shared the gospel as you should in a funeral message, invited the fellow soldiers to come down. They all came down very ceremoniously and, you know, clicked and did, you know, their this war hero. And then they had this plan that they were going to march out together in sequence. So the crowd is watching, and they marched out, and they opened the door into what they thought was the exit, and it happened to be a broom closet. So the whole regal group marched in and marched out as everybody watched. It's important for leaders to know where they're going, isn't it? And pray for Pastor Steve. That's what we'll talk about here in a moment. But that God gives you the wisdom to know how to lead. And to know where God, and God's, there's no other place than God's word and his Spirit that gives us direction as to how to lead. And I pray that, Pastor Steve, you will love this church family well and that you will lead them well. Now, River Hills, I have several things that I want to encourage you. Three things, specific ways that you can support Pastor Steve and the elders in his ministry. The very first thing that I would encourage you, River Hills, to do is to pray regularly for Pastor Steve. And I just want to make an emphasis that the way pray is supposed to be spelled is P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. Did you hear me? P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. I believe that one of the most important things that you can do is pray for your pastor and his family. Pray for his walk with Christ. Pray for wisdom. And pray specifically for him. May I give you an acrostic, P-A-S-T-O-R, as to how to pray? And you can, in your, there's a page of notes there that you can write P-A-S-T-O-R down the side. And let me encourage you to pray these things. First of all, pray for Pastor Steve's purity. Pray that he would be a man of God who would remain pure before the Lord. A, adversity. Now, you're not praying asking God to bring adversity into his life. You're praying recognizing that there will be times of adversity and that God will sustain him and give him faith and endurance in those times of adversity. Purity, adversity, pray for strength, that God would give him the strength to continue his ministry, that it would be in the power of the Holy Spirit. T, pray for his teaching as he opens the Word of God, that as God's Word is opened, that it would be delivered in a powerful and clear and a manner that accomplishes that which God would have. T, teaching. O, pray for his organization. There's more that needs to be done than one person can do and can handle, and that's why there's some capable elders here and other leaders. But pray for the organizational part of Pastor Steve's leadership. And then R, pray for rest. That while he's in service to the Lord and to you, the church family, that he will experience rest and have Sabbath, and that God will refresh him. So purity, adversity, strength, teaching, organization, and rest. You know, F.B. Meyer once said that the secret of the great ministry of Samuel Martin, who pastored Westminster Chapel, was this, that every Friday, people would come into the pews of Westminster, and they would get on their knees, and they would pray, and they would ask for the Spirit of God to come upon the people who would be sitting in those seats on that Sunday. And God's Spirit moved powerfully. So can I encourage you, River Hills Church family, to be a family that prays for your pastor, that prays for your receiving God's word. Samuel, at the end of his life in ministry, had gathered the children of Israel around him, and he said this in 1 Samuel 12, 20 to 24. Don't turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And then for emphasis, he said in verse 21, do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are, he said it again, empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people of himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel took the prayer for the children of Israel so seriously that he saw if he did not continue to pray for them, that it would be a sin. He said, I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only hear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Again, there it is. Serve the Lord with all your heart because of the great things that God has done for you. River Hills, pray regularly for Pastor Steve and for his family. Secondly, this morning, River Hills, an encouragement that I bring to you from God's word is to follow Pastor Steve's leadership. Follow his leadership. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Several reasons why I think you should follow Pastor Steve and the elders' leadership here at River Hills is because God has anointed them to be the leaders of this church. Sometimes when you push against leadership, do you recognize that you're pushing against God? Let me say that again. Now, I'm not saying blindly lead, because there's an accountability that we all have to have. I say to leaders that accountability goes like this, that the more we rise up in leadership, the more people we're accountable. We're accountable, first of all, to God. We're accountable to fellow leaders, and then we're accountable to the congregation. But I got to say, as leaders that God has given us, if we push back and God is leading them, sometimes we can be pushing against God. And I remember in the Old Testament what happened when Saul, who was an awful leader, and people were saying to David, take him out, take him out. And he said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. And recognize that God has put the spiritual leaders that are around you. So follow them. I think if you're praying for them, it will be much easier to follow them. I would probably say, if you're having difficulty following their leadership, you're probably not praying for them. Matter of fact, working with 160 churches in the Forest Lakes District, I know that to be true. That if you're not following your leaders, your spiritual leaders, you're not praying for them. So pray for Pastor Steve and the fellow elders, and then follow their leadership because, you know, God has placed them there. And then also, when you follow their leadership, it builds humility and maturity in the church family. Builds humility and maturity. A third reason I think that we need to follow the leaders that God has placed over us is because ministry is hindered if we don't follow. When we sidestep the vision that God has given to leaders, the ministry of the church is hindered through a lack of consecration. A wise pastor and leader will ask for input in formulating vision, but follow them. Robert Murray McShay, a pastor of a former generation, wrote this following Dan Edwards after he was ordained as a missionary. He said to Dan, he said, it's not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. So pray that that's what your leaders and that Pastor Steve will have such a likeness to Jesus. So pray regularly for Pastor Steve and your leaders, and then follow him and the fellow elders and leaders, follow their leadership. The last thing that I would encourage you, River Hills Church family, point number five there, is to provide encouragement to Pastor Steve and to the fellow leaders. Provide encouragement. That was the verse that was read to us from 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You know, friends, encouragement really isn't difficult, but it takes intentionality. Encouragement really isn't difficult, but it takes intentionality to encourage. And Paul said here that we are to encourage one another. Ministry, as I said earlier, and the world can be a very difficult place. We all need encouragement. A friend of mine who just completed 33 years pastoring one of our churches, and the new pastor was coming to this church, and he said, I'm going to step away for 6 months, and then I'm coming back, and he's going to be my pastor. And he said, by God's grace, I want to be the new pastor's biggest cheerleader and encourager in this new season as he's my pastor. And I would encourage you, see if you can out-encourage one another of encouraging Pastor Stephen Whitney and his family, and then encouraging each other. Now, smile when I say that, please, because some of you are looking at me like you've been inoculated with a dill pickle. Encourage, maybe this is a better way for River Hills to respond, because I hear you say amen. encourage Pastor Steve and Whitney.
Amen.
That's okay. That was just okay. But encourage one another, friends. This isn't some light, heavy dig. It's important. It's important. As I said earlier, this is my 36th year of vocational ministry. I've served three churches during that time. And after each one of the ministries, I was given a big box of cards. And during the ministry, and I have this big box at home full of cards that every once in a while, when I feel lower than a pregnant aunt and I'm kind of discouraged, I pull out that box and I read from the people over 36 years of ministry who said, "Pastor John, you were there when my mother died, and you helped me through the most difficult of circumstances. Thank you, and I love you. Pastor John, that sermon series you preached on the book of Jude was what God used to have our family say that we were going to make that our church home. Thank you for faithfully preaching God's word." And I pull out those hundreds of cards at various times and read, and I pray for those people where they are today, but I'm so encouraged by their encouragement. So I encourage you to find specific ways that you can encourage Pastor Steve and Whitney. Surveys reveal that up to 80% of pastors say that they face regularly discouragement in ministry and feel all alone. Let me give you some practical ways that you can encourage Pastor Steve. Take notes in the messages that you hear. Write those down. And then, you may be making a Walmart list, but he won't know the difference if you're writing diligently notes. But write those things down so that you can review them and review God's word throughout the week and have the Spirit of God take those truths and embed them in your heart and in your life that you become obedient. Email him and let him know, or send a text or write a note and say, "You know, God used what you said this past Sunday in a message specifically to encourage me." You know, even a child listens to a pastor's sermon. There was a little four-year-old boy, Danny, who was listening to the senior pastor preach from Genesis of the creation account, and he was intently listening where the text says that God put Adam to sleep and took a rib from his side and created Eve. And he was just mind blown by that truth. He got home later that afternoon, and he's laying around, and he's holding his side, and he's kind of laying there. And his mom says, "Danny, what's the matter?" He says, "My rib hurts. I think I'm going to have a wife." So children do listen, even though they might miss the application always. But listen to the truths that Pastor Steve and your leaders teach. And be obedient to God's word. And encourage. Yeah, friends, you cannot encourage enough. There was a famous violinist named Joshua Bell, and you can watch this on YouTube, that 2 days prior to this YouTube being taped, had played for a packed-out audience on his $3 million Stratus violin in Boston. Sold-out crowds who stood to hear him afterwards and applauded and encouraged this tremendous musician. Well, 3 days after this, he was in Washington, D.C., at the Metro train station, a place that had great acoustics, but he's down there playing his $3 million Stradivarius violin. And on this YouTube, it shows only 6 people out of the hundreds who walked by even stopped and acknowledged this world-famous musician and his talents. Friends, the power of encouragement, godly encouragement, is so vital. You may say, "I don't need encouragement." May I say, that's a lie. You need encouragement. We all need encouragement from the body of Christ. Pray for, follow, and encourage Pastor Steve. Bob Moorhead said this in his book, The Growth Factor, speaking of a pastor, and this is something we can pray. God, give us pastors ribbed with the steel of your Holy Spirit, men who will not flinch when the battle's fiercest, men who won't acquiesce or compromise or fade when the enemy rages. God, give us shepherds who can't be bought, bartered, or badgered by the enemy, men who will pay the price, make the sacrifice, stand their ground, and hold the torch high. God, give us pastors obsessed with the principles true to your word, men stripped of self-seeking and a yearn for security, men who will pay the price for freedom and go to any lengths for truth. God, give us pastors delivered from mediocrity, pastors who have vision that is high, pride that is low, faith that is wide, love that is deep, and patience that is long, men who will dare to march to the drumbeat of a distant drummer, shepherds who will not surrender principles of truth in order to accommodate their peers. God, give us men more interested in scars than medals, more committed to conviction than convenience, shepherds who will give their life to the eternal instead of indulging their lives for a moment in time. God, give us men who are fearless in the face of danger, calm in the midst of pressure, bold in the midst of opposition. God, give us pastors and leaders who will pray earnestly, work long, preach clearly, and wait patiently. God, give us men whose walk is by faith, behavior is by principle, dreams are in heaven, whose book is the Bible. God, give us pastors who are equal to the task. Those are the leaders the church needs today. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, the weeping prophet said this, speaking on God's behalf. I will give you shepherds after my after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. River Hills, I believe that God has worked and orchestrated and answered prayer to bring a new pastor to you. I see God's hand in it, and I've been praying with you for that. And I'm excited as you love and lead this dear congregation, Pastor Steve. Like David, he took care of the sheep after the integrity of his own heart, it says in Psalms. And then I would encourage you, dear church family, to pray for Pastor Steve regularly, to follow his leadership, and try and outdo one another in encouraging him. All for God's glory. Father, I thank you this morning for what you're doing here at this dear church, in this church family. God, I pray the things that have been said this morning, that they would bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, that they would bring instruction to your church family, and that, God, you would work in such a way that the people of Janesville would look at the people of River Hills and they would say, there's something different about those people. That it would be true of them of what Jesus said in John chapter 13. Everybody knows that the people of River Hills belong to me because they love one another so much. God, may that be true, that this church family loves one another so much, and love covers a multitude of sins and human frailty. So God, may the love that they have for you supremely evidence itself in a love for one another, and then a love that extends out to the people who desperately need Jesus Christ in this community. And God, will be careful to give you the glory for that which you accomplish. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.